Welcome to the Sleepy Writer Podcast. This is best-selling author John M. Davis, and yes, you probably know me as the host of Prepper Nation over on YouTube. What you may not know is outside of prepping, which I've been doing since 2011, I've also been professionally writing since 2011. I did not start both of these things at the same time, believe it or not. We had a tornado at that time come through. It made me question whether or not I could take care of my family in a time of crisis. That opened my eyes to prepping, and I've been doing it ever since. Another string of events led to me getting into professional writing. Now, to let you know, I've published 35 works, some of them novels, some of them novellas. There are over 1 million published words in print, which is nuts. I've worked for the Legends Football League, which is now, I think, called the X League. I did a bunch of game summaries for them. I wrote all of the material that they submitted to Fuse TV when it was coming on Fuse TV over on cable. And I've also passed a couple of opportunities to write for wrestling magazines. Yeah, there was a point in time in my life when I was huge into professional wrestling. The money just was not there. So in other words, I've been doing this for a while. And Prepper Nation actually started as a writing podcast where we would answer writing emails. We would just talk about the industry of writing and publishing because it's a very nasty industry. And I don't know, we had probably 40 listeners at that time. Nothing compared to Prepper Nation, obviously. So the thing is, we needed to create a backup channel on YouTube for Prepper Nation. YouTube constantly comes after prepping channels. So we set up a backup channel just in case, and it's been sitting over here rusting to the ground. We did some history on it there for a while. I have a degree in history with a minor in creative writing, but neither here nor there. The point is, I don't want a channel on YouTube that is going to rust to the ground. And as much as I love prepping, I have other interests. Again, the history is a huge interest of mine. Writing and reading, a huge interest as well. And the 80s. So once a month on the YouTube channel, we were shooting for once a week, but we're only going to be able to swing once a month. We are going to publish, my friend Travis and I, we're going to do an 80s podcast. It's going to be full video, and we're just going to be reminiscing about the 80s, and we're going to talk about a lot of really cool stuff. But again, I didn't want a channel rusting to the ground here. So I said, hey, let's just go ahead and start talking about writing over here again. So here we are. Now you know the score. Now you're up to speed, right? Right? I'm drinking coffee, by the way. Folks, I've got the Square Zelda mug in front of me. Some of you over on Prepper Nation know exactly what I'm talking about. So this is episode one. I wanted to talk about how I got started writing professionally, and then also we're going to transition over to how you can get started writing professionally if you choose to do so. So here's how I got started. My parents were both in the military. They met in Vietnam. My dad was actually a field surgeon. My mom was a nurse. They were married for a while. We lived on different army bases. We were in Bremerhaven, Germany. And my parents decided, hey, we're going to get a divorce. You know, it's just not working. I still don't know all of the details. It's not something that when I got older, I didn't really ask my parents too many questions, you know. So I moved to, at that time, my mom's family, she had custody. We moved to Southwest Virginia, which is, it explains how I'm in North Carolina, right? So we moved to Southwest Virginia, and I don't really fit in with the crowd. And I'm looking for ways to fit in. Video games was a great way, but I couldn't afford video games right out of the gates. What I could afford was books and comics, but specifically books, because we would find these things at yard sales and stuff. Now, to my dad's credit, eventually he did send an Atari 2600 one year with several games, and it was still very expensive at that time. So it's really a combination of both, okay? It's a combination of I was a really poor kid, and books really got me into reading. So I could sit down with a book that was 50 cents at a yard sale, and I could get away from, because my life sucked at that time, y'all. I could get away from life for a little while. I could escape, and I kind of keyed in on science fiction and fantasy novels. And I was probably the only 10th grader reading 400 and 500 page novels at that time. Now, the other thing that factored in, I would say, is the Atari 2600 that my dad sent over. I mean, let's face it, 2600 games suck when you get straight down to the gameplay. I mean, they're terrible. They're blocks and rectangles and stuff on a screen, but there was something about the box art on the games for the Atari 2600 that really pulled me in. So for example, Haunted House or Missile Command, you can go on down the line, Berserk. And I would sit and I would look at this box art, and this really so again, my mom, she would pick up or allow me to pick up novels, Goodwill, yard sales, etc., because really that's all we could afford. So she introduced me to a love of reading. And then my dad, who had sent the Atari over and all of this incredible box art, this introduced me to the idea of wanting to look at the box art and kind of start writing my own story. So, for example, I would look at Haunted House, the box art, and you can Google it if you're not familiar. Atari 2600 Haunted House. I would put the game in, I would play the game for 2 minutes, I would take the game back out. And I'm like, well, the game sucks. But I would be totally mesmerized by this box art. And I would just stare at it, and then I would start writing a story. What do I think is happening? And again, this is 8, 9 years old, maybe 10. I'm writing in notebooks. It was probably horrible. But it was a great way for me to pass the time, and it introduced me to creativity, like a level of creativity that a lot of people, unless you're there, you can't understand it, you know? So, anyway, moving on to my adult life. Not to be rambling here. So, we try to have a child for 10 years, my wife and I. Her name's Casey, for those that don't know. Miss Nation's name is Casey. And so Casey's finally pregnant. We're going to have a child. At this time, I'm working on the escalation team at Dish Network. So my job is, now I got paid well for it, but my job was they'd identified me as having a calm voice. Can you believe that? And they forced me to take a promotion I didn't want and paid me more money to go to the customer escalation team, also known as the win back team at Dish Network. And so, in other words, when somebody was pissed at Dish Network and they were ready to disconnect, and they'd already talked to a representative on the phone, and they're like, transfer me over, I'm disconnecting now. They would actually transfer over to the win back team. So every single call that I got was somebody pissed off at the world, and Dish Network was to blame. And it was my job at that point to calm them down, offer them something that I thought was fair. I could green light $400 or $500 or whatever and keep them as a customer. And I hated this job. I loved the fact that I'm working for Dish Network. I love to talk to people. But I hated the fact that every single call that came in, they were already cussing. They were cursing me and they don't know me. So I was miserable, but again, good money. My wife was working for the school system, making less money, but she actually enjoyed her job. She loved it. Kids would stop her in town and say, "Hey, Miss Casey," and all this stuff, and they're talking. And she got to watch them grow up, and she's a real influence on these kids. So, long story short, my wife is pregnant, okay? And we are getting ready to have the baby, or she is, y'all know how that works, right, son? And We finally decide to have the talk. We haven't had the talk up until this point, but she was like, "So we're not putting them in daycare, right?" I said, "No, I'm not big on daycares either. Daycares, you have to worry about whether or not your child's being taken care of." But up until this point, I had assumed that Casey was going to quit her job and stay home with the kid. Casey had assumed that because I hated my job, I was going to stay at home and, take care of our daughter. And ultimately, it was decided here at the Ponte Rosa, which is what we call our home, that I was going to stay home and take care of our daughter. And what a crash course that was. Up until that point, I'd never changed a diaper. I never had mixed a single bottle of formula up. As a matter of fact, we stopped on the way home to buy formula and I bought the wrong stuff and she had to go back in and swap it out. But the point is this, I got the hang of it. And yes, this has to do with writing, believe it or not. So after a couple of months, I kind of got into a routine. My daughter had a well-established sleeping pattern. I knew what time roughly she was going to wake up. I knew what time I was going to have to feed her and change her. I knew that, okay, for the next 2 or 3 hours, she's going to be down for the count. So I have this discussion with my wife. I'm like, I've got all this free time now. I don't know what to do with myself. And getting back to the creativity for a second, this seems like a perfect setup. The only problem is when you're a very creative person, just like prepping, the creativity never turns off. You can't turn it off. And so when you're sitting around doing almost nothing, cleaning house or whatever, it's a soul crusher. I would equate this to if you've ever worked in a factory and all of your friends are going to the beach or they're going to the lake this weekend, but you can't go, you have to work. You have to be in a factory doing menial tasks that orangutans do. It kills your soul because not only are you there doing something that's not really making much of a difference, but you're not able to go and do the things you really want to do. And so I'm sitting at home. I love taking care of my daughter. It's the in-between times, the 2 or 3 hours in between that she's sleeping, where I'm just sitting here thinking, I don't know what to do with myself. And I had this discussion with my wife, and she's like, "Is there anything that you've ever thought about doing that you could possibly do from home?" And I'm like, "No, I don't think so. I'll rack my brain or whatever." So the following week, one of my friends died in a motorcycle wreck. This was not somebody that I hung out with anymore, but he was a childhood friend of a very good friend of mine when we were younger. And this shook me up for a couple of reasons. And it really made me think about my own mortality for the very first time. So he was a couple of years younger than I was. That was the main thing. So he's a couple of years younger than me, and I'm sitting here thinking that could have easily been me. That can be me next. Maybe not on a motorcycle, but when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. And I can check out at any point. And this gave me a sense of urgency that's very hard to explain. And then, of course, the second thing was it was all of the sudden, You don't expect it, and then it completely blindsides you. And anybody that's lost someone, I think, can relate to that. So I'll never forget this as long as I live. I'm upset about this, and I go out and I'm sitting on our front porch. Okay, it's raining. One of my favorite things to do is to sit outside when it's raining or it's snowing and listen to the metal roof. Okay. So I get this loud, kind of da, 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 where the rain's hitting the roof. It's a cold rain. And I'm just upset. And my wife comes out there and, she's being a great wife. She's like, "Is there anything I can do?" and all this stuff. And I try to explain to her, that could have been me. I've got to do something with my life. I've got to do something more than be the guy that worked at Dish Network and the guy that changes a diaper every 2 or 3 hours and feeds my daughter. So again, she asks, is there anything that you've ever wanted to do that maybe you could do from home that would occupy you? And I blurted it out. I wasn't even thinking. I said, I would love to write a novel. After I heard myself say it, I'm like, God, man, you're not gonna be able to write a novel. I didn't know anything about writing a novel professionally. How do you get it published? Who do you send the manuscripts to? I didn't know any of this stuff. How does it need to be formatted? And so on and so forth. So she was supportive. She's like, yeah, you should definitely try and do that. And for anybody that's ever written, everybody around you supportive, but they kind of got that wink in their eye, like, they don't actually think you're going to accomplish this, but they're supportive nonetheless. And so the next time we're at the store, it was back to school sale, I believe, because it was fall. Notebooks were 15 cents, and I bought like $10 worth of, the single subjects and all. I stack them up and I begin to write. And another thing that is worth mentioning is shortly after my childhood friend passed away on a motorcycle, up until that time, I was a drinking man. So I'm not going to say I was the life of the party, but I was pretty funny at the parties. And the parties usually happened here at the Ponderosa. And my wife had been after me for a while to stop anyway. But when this chain of events went down, I really made the decision to, be like, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't want my daughter to see me do this. I don't want her to grow up and see her dad drinking. So I quit cold turkey. And the reason I mention this is because between not drinking and turning my life back over to God and also writing, my friends began to evaporate. Has anybody ever experienced this before? Like we had tons of groups of friends and married couples, and everybody wanted to have fun. And then it really got to the point where they wouldn't invite us out anymore because they knew when we got to a restaurant or something, we weren't drinking, number one. And number two, I was busy writing. I mean, the way it works with me, folks, is once I decide I want to do something, I'm gonna do it. It may take a long time, it may take a lot of work. I may start out having no clue as to what I'm doing, but I'm gonna figure it out eventually. And so I had to completely bury myself into writing. The thing with writing, and I'm living proof of this, is literally anybody can do it. All of the stuff is out there right now for you to write a novel free of charge. And I'm going to explain to you at some point in one of the podcast episodes from A to Z how you can do that. But anybody can do it. Again, I'm total living proof of that. But you need to know that if you're going to write for a living, it is very tiring work. There's not a lot of money involved, and it is extremely lonely. Most people that write professionally are alcoholics. And that's not me making fun of people, that's me being real. Most of them turn to alcohol or drug use just because they're trying to fill a void that's there. When you write, you kind of have to distance yourself, not from your immediate family, but from the rest of the world. And you have to go to a really lonely place because that's where it's creative. Okay? You can't be the life of the party and also write for a living. It doesn't work that way. And so for a very long time, I don't know that I've ever mentioned this over on Prepper Nation, but for a very long time, I dealt with depression because I was writing for a living. I don't know how to explain it. I'm looking for the words here. People would ask, they haven't seen me in years. Hey man, what are you into these days? I wouldn't say I'm writing for a living. It wasn't that I was embarrassed, but I was trying to avoid the whole conversation of, oh man, that's awesome. What are you writing? How'd you get into it? The whole nine yards. I wanted to avoid that conversation. And so I would say, I'm a stay-at-home dad. And even though I was making money at this time, people look at you and say, oh, that's great. But they're looking at you like you're some kind of a bum or something, like you're sucking the system dry. And there were several years where I was dealing with depression, severe anxiety. Again, I wasn't drinking anymore at this time. I had turned my life back over to God. I was praying a lot, prayed my way through a lot of it, but eventually I figured out there needs to be a balance. There needs to be balance in your life, folks. And this can apply to writing, this can apply to prepping. I will talk to people a lot via email and even sometimes in live chat where prepping has completely consumed them. Okay. And it's easy to let that happen. Prepping can consume you. Prepping can turn into something that really controls your life, and you can't let it get to that point. Prepping has never really done that to me, but writing did. Writing got to the point for me where it was controlling my life, and I had to take some of my life back. And I'm always saying, in the live chat over on Prepper Nation, I appreciate the crowd being there, and I do, because without the ability to live stream and talk to people in chat and just having that morning routine, I would not have the balance. I would still be in a very dark place. But Prepper Nation really has opened the door, and it's like the, what is it called, son? The yin yang, that true balance where you're prepping and you're loving it and you're talking to the prepping crowd, but then you dash over here and you're writing and you're by yourself and you're in a place that's creative and lonely and you get some great writing done, and then you bounce back over here and now you're talking prepping again. So neither one of them are able to control my life. And I would encourage you to have balance in your own life. Some people, the best way to put it is some people work controls their life. It can be writing, it can be, hey, you're a lawyer, it can be you're an educator. There are plenty of different jobs, police officer. But what happens is people let their jobs take over and they become their jobs. And for a while, this was happening to me in writing. And I thought for the longest time, it has to be this way. Otherwise, I'm not going to be successful. And what I've come to find out is no, we're all individual, unique people. And we need to find that balance. I need to be a dad. I need to be a husband. I need to be a goofball playing 80s video games every couple of weeks and collecting. I still collect the Atari cover art, folks. And I collect it for that reason. It takes me back to going into, Refco or something like that, or the Radio Shack, and them having $5 dump bins of Atari games and me digging through. I see a copy of Yar's Revenge on the 2600. I can remember being at my local Rose's store and digging through and finding Yar's Revenge. So there needs to be a balance. And that's really the best advice I can give anybody, whether you are running a YouTube channel, which is really hard. Let me just say this, because I used to bash YouTubers. I did. My kids will tell you. I used to laugh. They would show me a YouTube channel, and I'm like, man, it must be so easy to sit around on your bum all day and film a video here or there. But the truth is, it's a lot of freaking work. And so now I'm eating my words on that. But I'm finding my balance between YouTubing and talking prepping and going live every morning, which I love, and writing. And sometimes people will come to me, friends especially, they'll come to me with an idea, a golden ticket idea. I've got a friend now. I was just talking about him this morning. You're going to catch this a couple of days later, but I was just talking about how I have a friend who is into the tabletop role-playing games, and he has been hounding me for a couple of years now, create our own. And I don't really know a whole lot about it, but he does. And the thing is, he knows that I know the process of writing and publishing a book and getting it out there. So again, we'll talk about that process another time, but I want to encourage you because I see a lot of division and a lot of people in our community, whether it's the writing community, the prepping community. You thought the prepping community was bad? No, son, it's nothing compared to the writing and the publishing industry. These people will slit your throat and steal the quarters off your eyes in the writing and the publishing industry. And I'm not kidding about that. I mean, they are heinous over there. And what I've always tried to live by code, okay? Not a samurai code for those that are asking, but I've always tried to live by code. And that is, you give somebody a hand up, you never punch down, okay? You never, if somebody's in a lower position than you are, in whatever it is, again, maybe you're a police officer and somebody's a rookie, or a football player and they're a rookie, or the writing industry, for example, you always try and give a hand up to that individual and pull them up where you're at. You never punch down. You never use any success that you may have had to belittle that person or to keep them down. And I've noticed so much of that in the writing community. It's so clicky. There are so many cliques in the writing community. And I've long been hated by these cliques because I just do my own thing when it comes to writing. And I've had, some decent success doing it. Again, it pays the bills, so I can't complain. But anyway, folks, I wanted to just post something over on the backup page this morning. It's about 2 hours after the Prepper Nation live stream. So I've had time to drink coffee, read the comments. For those that are wondering, and watch Prepper Nation, this is the same day that the bee got after me. I don't know when you'll see this actually on YouTube, but we're rebranding the entire channel, the backup channel, because I hate calling it the backup channel. It doesn't roll off the tongue. The sleepy writer rolls off the tongue. And look, I'm sleepy all the time, and I'm a writer, so it just works. Yes, it is a play on Washington Irving's, Sleepy Hollow, but I'm a huge fan of Washington Irving. I think he's probably one of the top five writers of all time. So it's not like I'm trying to be cheap here and steal Sleepy Hollow's noise. It's more of I'm paying homage to Washington Irving. He put a lot of historical stuff in his writing, and he had a flair for writing. And so anyway, this will be a weekly deal, the Sleepy Writer. For those that aren't interested in it, look, I'm not going to be upset. I promise. I appreciate your support on Prepper Nation. I appreciate the fact that you cared enough to subscribe over here on the backup channel. Under no obligation. You are under no obligation to listen to the writing podcast each and every week. But just know if something happens to Prepper Nation, I will be bouncing over here and doing the live stream instead of the main channel until they let me out of YouTube jail. But that's it, folks. That's all I have today. Let's see, what would be a good topic? Let me know in the comments, actually, what would you folks like to know about when it comes to the writing and publishing industry? And I would be glad to cover it. I've seen pretty much everything at this point. I can tell you the dirt bags in the industry. I can tell you the people that they're few and far between, but they have golden hearts and they really do try and help people. So anyway, this is once again best-selling author John M. Davis, aka the Sleepy Writer, also aliased as Prepper Nation. And I love and appreciate each and every one of you for being here. And until next week. Take care and God bless.